Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I laid an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Now, Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, a Tuesday edition of the Mark Reardon Show. After the big announcement yesterday and a whirlwind, you hear from different people that you haven't heard from in a while, including a bunch of former radio folks, when you decide, well, again, I wasn't my decision. I was told that the show is moving. And if you missed all the breaking news yesterday, I am very excited. It's going to be awesome. We got a few weeks here of transition. Dave Glover from our sister station 97.1 is going to take over this slot 2 to 6 on the 22nd of March, and I'm heading over to 97.1 on the 29th. It's not an April Fool's joke. It's not a March Fool's joke. It's the way things are heading, and it's going to be exciting. People keep asking me, is this a good thing? It damn well better be a good thing, or I'm going to be working at the QT. And nothing against folks that work at the QT, but you have to be. Dave, have you ever noticed you got to be nice to work at the QT? I love that place, but they're so friendly.
Yeah, how are you going to fit in there, then?
I'm still trying to figure that out. Well, I may have averted that. So I think we're in good shape. A lot going on here today. We are going to talk about a couple of things that are bubbling underneath the surface in Washington, including a return of earmarks. And some people think that that's a good idea. Former Congressman John Shimkus with me this afternoon. Believe it or not, it's election day in the city of St. Louis for a new mayor. It's pretty important, but something tells me a lot of people are not considering it very important, or they're not voting, and Jeff Rainford is going to join us a little later on that. But there's been apparently a final decision when it comes to St. Louis County Council leadership and that whole kerfuffle that's been going on now for a couple of months. My county councilman, former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch, is with me this afternoon. Chief, how are you? You have an update. There's been a judge's ruling in this leadership case, right?
There is. Before we get into that, congratulations, Mark, on the move. Look forward to joining you over there on that new place on the dial. So look forward to that.
That's right. On the with better sound quality with the FM dial, we can, you know, have music in stereo and things like that. That's going to be exciting. Ooh, I was always very hacked off, by the way, that HD radio, and for those people who have HD and can still get KMOX in HD, it's just fantastic. But that was technology that never took off. Candidly, we, you know, people in the industry thought that was going to be a saving grace a while back, and unfortunately it didn't kick in. But thank you. I appreciate that. And yes, I would expect that you would spend quite a bit of time with me over there on 97.1 in a few weeks. So is this a final on this judge's ruling?
Well, like anything in court, it's not final until the side that loses decides it's final. And every indication that we were told by Ernie Trakas and Lisa Clancy is that if the court ruled that they were wrong, they would accept that ruling and move on. So that remains to be seen. But I will tell you that every indication I've seen and heard since the ruling came down this morning is that that's exactly what we're going to do, is we're going to move on. But unfortunately, it cost you, Mark, as a St. Louis County taxpayer, it's going to be tens of thousands of dollars to get to this decision, which is really a shame. And we have so many other needs for that money.
Well, it's been a big waste of time. This is a little recap here, and you correct me if I get any of the timeline wrong. This goes back to January 5th, interesting day now that we think back at that. But that was when Lisa Clancy and Ernie Trakas, supporters of Sam Page, were elected into leadership. But they were elected with the vote of Councilwoman Rochelle Walton Gray, who was a Democrat in District 4 that was voted out of office that previous November, right? So then the question is, wait a second, that doesn't pass the smell test, and also it's not legal. That was your contention, and now it looks like a judge has agreed.
That was exactly our contention. The Missouri Constitution makes it clearer than anything else. A council person, a county office holder, cannot hold office for more than 4 years. It doesn't say 4 years and 11 days. It says 4 years. So the judge basically said that it's a violation of the Constitution by allowing her to participate and vote on that day. So he followed exactly the arguments that we had on the 5th, and then again on the 12th and the 15th when we elected Rita Days and Mark Harder as the chair and vice chair, respectively.
All right. So, again, what's the next step? And when I say step, does that mean is there going to be a council meeting, for example? Is there one tonight? I should probably know that.
We actually just had a committee, the whole meeting. It just started at 1 and just finished. And Rita Days is the chair, and Mark Harder is the vice chair, and that's how it'll be tonight at 6:30. The court has ruled, and we're going to move on, and unfortunately the taxpayers are going to get stuck with the bill on this.
But as long as, I mean, does Lisa Clancy and Ernie Trakas have to do anything, or do they just have to basically, you know, say uncle at this point?
Yeah, they have to say uncle at this point.
And is there a more formal process for that, or did they just kind of come in and let
the judge run
the place?
Now the judge made his ruling. They are no longer the chair and vice chair, and they never were legally, is what he said. So we will move on. And the real question left outstanding here, actually two questions, is the county counselor, who, by the way, is appointed by Sam Page and serves at his pleasure, gave us poor legal advice all the way through us and told us, and I'm talking about the majority of the council, told us that what we were doing was wrong and it was illegal and that we couldn't do it. And they instructed Lisa Clancy and Ernie Trakas that they were the chair and the vice chair, and we pointed out to them over and over again that, no, we can read the law, we see what it says, and you're wrong. And so now you have an attorney who's given poor legal advice to her client, and on top of that, sued her client, because, by the way, she represents me as well, Beth Orwick, the county counselor. So what do we do now? Do we ever trust any legal information they give to us again? That's a question for Sam Page that he has to answer and somebody has to hold him responsible for.
The statement, did you see Lisa Clancy's statement in the aftermath of the ruling? Okay, let me read that. This is confusing, but maybe not unexpected. She says, this is our progressive, now former county council chair, "I consider this matter settled, and I'm glad to have it behind us. To me, this has definitely never been about disrespect for Councilwoman Webb or former Councilwoman Walton Gray, or about race or about age. It was and remains about ensuring the independence of county government from ideology and about following the rules. With this clarification from the court, we have what we need to put this issue behind us, and that is what I intend to do." Does that make any sense to you, that statement?
Sure. Yeah, what she said was, by the way, we violated the rules and we got caught. The judge has ruled against us, and let's move on and let's not talk about this anymore. She and Sam Page want it to go away in the worst way. That's what they want to do. They want to bury this and move on. Unfortunately, there's still unanswered questions. Like, you know, there was other legislation on the 5th that passed with Rochelle Walton Gray's single vote, passed with her vote. What happens to that? You know, they hired a slew of outside lawyers with her vote. It was a 4-3 vote, and she cast the deciding vote. If she was deemed by the judge as being illegal to be there and to be voting, that makes that bill illegal, and it wasn't passed. So we have to take that back up as well.
All right, so moving forward, though, here, and there's still going to be back and forth in politics and some of the things you're talking about, do you think, and how does this change moving forward the way that some of these votes are going to occur with new leadership? Do you think you're going to be able to get things done, you and Councilman Harder, in a different way now?
Well, you keep in mind that the four of us that were sued by the county counselor's office, by Sam Page, still have the 4-3 majority.
Right.
Whether or not we will be able to, one thing that won't happen is nothing will pass this council that Sam Page wants to pass the council without the four of us. That's for sure.
Which is a good thing.
Going to have to figure out how to work with us to get any of his agenda passed through the council. And so far, he's been unwilling to do that.
All right, Chief, keep me posted. Thank you for the update this afternoon. Sounds like a victory for sure, but I can never be too certain until I see you guys in action and Lisa Clancy pulling some BS and stuff like that. So certainly keep me posted.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Tim Fitch, County Councilman, St. Louis County. I mean, the whole thing really never needed to happen. This was a big waste of time on the part of Lisa Clancy and Ernie Trakas. They should have known how this was going to go down. It didn't pass the smell test from the beginning. Look, when you have the gang at the Post-Dispatch against you and you're a progressive, then you know you're probably on the wrong side of things. 2:14 at the Voice of St. Louis. All right, a bunch of stuff that I need to get to here this afternoon. Let me toss this in, though, quickly, because there are folks down in Texas that are buzzing about this. This is getting some national attention as well when it comes to COVID. Governor Abbott down in Texas has issued a decree that says effective next Wednesday, all businesses of any type are allowed to open 100%. Also, I'm ending the statewide mask mandate. Now, we never had one of those here in Missouri, much to the disappointment of Lida Krusen and others who think that masks solve all of the problems on the planet. I had no problem with, you know, what Governor Parson did in having mask mandates, you know, put into place locally and regionally. But he's basically operating under the assumption that the pandemic is over, perhaps. That'll be interesting to see. Look, I think we're ready. I think people can go out, especially in a warm climate like Texas, go out, live their lives again. There's a real interesting piece in The Atlantic today, and I've pointed this out before in having Derek Thompson on the show as one of the reporters. They've done a great job of really looking at the science and balancing some of the fact and separating it from the fiction at The Atlantic. And they write a piece every once in a while, what to expect, you know, for example, what to expect in the summer of 2021 in the fall. And there's optimism in those types of predictions that didn't used to be there, and I'll have a chance to run some of that down a little bit later this afternoon. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back here on KMOX. A lot to get to, plus an audio cut of the day, of course, at 3:50 this afternoon. We do have a mayor's race that we're going to talk about here with Jeff Rainford coming up, and John Shimkus, former congressman. He just left his district in Illinois. Some thoughts on earmarks, and that's coming up next on KMOX.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
I'm still trying to recover from that, like, fake National Weather Service tornado alert this morning. It's like 10 o'clock. My house backs up literally to a utility pole that has one of those sirens on it about 50 yards from my house. So when the monthly drill took place yesterday, so then it's 10 o'clock this morning. For those people who might have missed this, I think your phone started going off. I thought we were under attack. We were not. It was apparently part of the statewide test, and there was some confusion. They say there was a malfunction between the National Weather Service and the Weather Emergency Alert System. The test warning should not have activated. So I think that's what they call a failed test, which is maybe why you have tests occasionally. Former Illinois Congressman John Shimkus is back with us this afternoon. Although now I think I have to call him Professor. Professor Shimkus, how are you?
I'm doing great. I just gave my first test, and I'm being called a lot of things. Professor might be nice.
Well, update folks for, you know, we've talked about this before, but tell folks what you're doing at SIU.
Well, I'm teaching two classes. One's afternoon, Monday, Wednesday, called Law and Society, and we just got through the constitutional portion, and now we're into criminal law. I could handle constitution. Criminal is kind of outside my bailiwick, but I'm learning. And then I have a 2.5-hour evening class Monday night on introduction to national government and politics.
And that's the one you've invited me to impart some wisdom, which, you know, is going to be a stretch to the Utes in a few weeks, right? Is that Monday night class?
That's it. And last night we were covering Congress, and your buddy, Congressman Rodney Davis, was my guest for a spent a whole hour with us, or 50 minutes. So he did a nice job.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I look forward to it. I really do like doing things like this, so I appreciate the invite. I'm honored, and I look forward to it here in a couple of weeks, just about a month away. So, look, I saw this story, and I thought of you and Senator Talent, too, just to get your thoughts, because you're out of office right now. You know, I remember talking about earmarks and ripping them pretty good in the past because they just never seemed like they made a lot of sense when it came to the sausage making. But now I see that there are people that are making the case, and John Boehner's one of them, that, you know, earmarks got a bad name and there's some call for the return of earmarks. So could John Shimkus make a case that earmarks perhaps should return? And if so, explain why.
Yeah, I'm a believer. The House Republican Conference talked about this a couple times when we were in power, and members would go up their microphone and make the case. And I was one of them. So we had to cast a vote, and we would have done it. Now the power behind the party said it gives us a black eye. We're anti spending and lower deficits. Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Not anymore. You don't, right?
But putting that aside, constitutionally, all spending begins in a house. So what happens is, if you can't have members, as members travel around the district, they go over roads and bridges and water plants and municipal plants and stuff like that. And we get asked every day we're on the road, can you help us with X? And the way we used to be able to help people with X is we would put in a earmark, a requested funding amount for the project. And it wouldn't pay for the whole thing. It would just help. The example we used last night, because we talked about it, was Route 29. That's a two-lane road that stretches from Springfield, Illinois to Taylorville, Rodney's hometown. And there was a lot of deaths on that road. So we earmarked $1 million for, it was like design, it was like the beginning stages of a four lane. And that put pressure on the state elected officials to look at that seriously, and now they have a four lane between those two communities. So the way I understand it's going to happen in Washington, when they do this, it's going to be for government, so for the state of Illinois, for municipalities, maybe counties, and or not-for-profits. Where we get in trouble is where we allow earmarks for private entities for their own personal benefit. And we've had members of Congress go to jail for that. It does not raise more money over the amount of spending. It's within the budgeted amount passed by Congress.
Yeah, and I think that's that nuance that perhaps sometimes people, forget about. But when you have these cases, and the one that comes to mind I think everyone points toward is what happened with Ted Stevens in Alaska, the bridge to nowhere, because that was an earmark that was put in an appropriations bill, and nobody was even using that thing. It was like 50 people that were in that area, so it got a lot of attention. Is that just one of those egregious examples, or would you even defend something like that?
Well, that was probably egregious, but, the member put that in, and, I mean, that's really where it came down. I'm sure the local community there wanted it, I think.
Right.
So the same thing as I always said. And so these things have to be transparent, so people have to know. I think each member is going to be allowed to submit 10. They're not going to get all their 10. They may get one. If they're a powerful person, they may get 10. If they're a Democrat, they may get six, and a Republican may get three.
Yeah.
That's just, realpolitik. But they have to be very transparent so people can look and see what these are. And then it's really, I like the idea that members are accountable to their voters. And if it's an egregious example, then the voter should exercise their right to not support that member because of it being so bad. But here's the other thing, Mark. Here's the other thing. Now, Trump just left the presidency. There was a lot of money that went out through the agencies. I'm Republican, and my district got a lot of help in building out broadband. Guess what's going to happen under a Trump administration? Republican districts aren't going to get that support.
You mean under a Biden administration?
Yeah, the Biden administration is not going to support the Republican districts. So this will at least allow Republicans to get something for their district because they'll be frozen out by the administration.
So this is separate but somewhat related. So how would you react to the way that the COVID relief package was put together and stuffed with some of these goodies and sent over to the Senate, where you're rewarding states that have killed businesses like California, New York, and the Chicago area? Because I know it's different from earmarks, but it's still the sausage making that really puts off a lot of people. You wouldn't have voted for that, I'm sure, if you were still a member, but it's seemingly because of the numbers, there's nothing you could do about it.
Because of the numbers, there's nothing you can do about it. It's egregious. I mean, it's embarrassing. I think if it would have been on COVID relief, you would have had bipartisan votes and you would put
you would have had a good vote, and everyone would have been happy. And even fiscal conservatives would have said, well, it's not terrible, and these things need to be done. I just cannot believe the deficit spending that occurred within the last year. I mean, the deficit spending, this is just one year spending over what you're taking in. I think it's up to like $14 trillion. And when I first ran for Congress, I was mad that we had a $4 trillion national debt. There's a difference between deficits and debt.
And you alluded to this, and you joked about it a little bit, John, but I've said this repeatedly, that there's Republicans can't complain about Democrats busting the budget and the deficit based on what's happened in the last couple of years. That's just laughable, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we did the same thing. Although, we would at least know that we were doing it, right? Democrats hold a party. We shut down the government and try to stop us from doing it, right? And so how many times did we cover the government shutdown? Why were we having government shutdown? We were having government shutdowns over spending.
Well, that's true. No doubt about that. Congressman John Shimkus, now Professor Shimkus. I'll talk to you in a few weeks. Thanks for coming on this afternoon. I appreciate it.
All right, Mark. Talk to you later.
2:29. We're back. We're going to talk about the mayor's race. I think what's happening in the city of St. Louis is pretty darn important, and I'm a little worried about how many people are paying attention. That's coming up with Jeff Rainford after the news, sponsored by the Heisey Advisory Group. 2:35, I believe we have, Dave, can you confirm this? We have Cardinals baseball on the air tomorrow at the beginning of the show, although the game today ended up being a tie, and it was shut down after 7 innings, 0-0. It was a two-hour game, I think, unless they started early. Do you know that?
It was also a tie today, as I have seen on social media. But in regards to tomorrow, that is not on the KMOX air. That is only a network game. So we will be on.
Oh, so I was wrong about that.
Well, okay. To be fair, though.
Were you the one that told me that?
I know, but the release that was sent out kind of was a little confusing. So Fred and I cleared things up with sports executive producer Ben Boyd.
There you go. All right. So we do have no baseball tomorrow. You can hear it on the stream as we're getting ramped up. Thank you for that confirmation. I mean, usually with some of these spring training games, we get on the air pretty quick anyway, so it doesn't make a huge amount of difference. However, every once in a while, they decide to go to extra innings. That's usually later in the spring, and then there's a four-hour game that pops up. 2:36, we have a mayor's race being decided, was sort of decided in St. Louis today with the primary, the general in a few weeks. I just think that a lot of people, or not enough people, are paying attention. Now, I don't live in the city anymore, and many of you don't either, but this is a pretty important and vital election for the city of St. Louis. Jeff Rainford used to work for Mayor Slay, was chief of staff, longtime Reardon Roundtable participant, was on Friday. Jeff, how are you? Welcome back.
It's all good, Mark. A very slow, very low turnout today, low-key race to be expected, after what's gone on the last few weeks.
Yeah, we talked about this on Friday a little bit, and I think for a lot of people listening right now outside of the city, they may be caught off guard just a little bit that there's even an election right now. Now, this is the primary, and I want you to kind of run through the different rules with how this election's taking place, but it almost seems like this is a really, really important race for the next leader of this city since Mayor Crewson decided to not run again, and I'm wondering how many people are dialed into what's happening.
Not nearly enough. I mean, the prediction today is 20% turnout, and I think there was like almost a 70% turnout for the presidential race. And in many ways, who the mayor of the city is more important to city people than who the president is. Maybe more interesting who the president is, and it may be on television a lot more, and it may argue about it a lot more, but the mayor has a lot more impact on your life. As far as the new voting system, it is the city only. So if you don't live in the city, don't worry about these rules for your jurisdiction. City voters approved it in November. And the way it works is when you go to the polls today, if you are a city voter, you can vote for as many candidates as you want, 1, 2, 3, or all four. And then the top two vote getters run off a month from now, the first Tuesday in April.
So how do you see it? Look, the polling has seemed to indicate that Lewis Reed and Tashar Jones possibly will finish 1-2. Would it be a shock to you? I mean, we talked about Kara Spencer last week. Andrew Jones is another candidate. Would you be surprised if it's not Tashar and Lewis?
Only mildly, only because I don't really believe polling. At least I don't, take it as rock solid evidence as I used to. So nothing would shock me, but I've thought for the last 4 years that Tashar was the front runner. She's done nothing during this campaign to hurt herself. I think she's run a good campaign. Lewis Reed, who normally does not run good campaigns, has run a really good campaign. But the thing that's unpredictable is this new system of voting. I mean, for instance, Kara Spencer is a progressive. Tashara Jones is a progressive. They agree on a lot of things, close the workhouse, social justice, decriminalizing, prostitution, defund the police. So, you know, maybe what happens is voters who are progressive vote for the two of them, because then in the final they can't lose. So it's hard to predict. But yes, if I had to predict, I would predict Tashara Jones and Lewis Reed.
Well, so then that let's kind of operate on that assumption just to move forward here. How do you see, if that's the way it ends up, how do you see the next few weeks kind of taking shape for the general election? And is there a favorite there?
Well, I would still think that Tashara Jones is the favorite in the sense that she barely lost 4 years ago. She's done nothing in the last 4 years to hurt her. But Lewis Reed is the only candidate who can beat her. Kara Spencer can't beat her. I mean, I think that if Kara Spencer does nose past Lewis Reed today, then Tashara Jones will be a prohibitive favorite, kind of like what you saw back in August in the circuit attorney's race, where the circuit attorney, the incumbent, badly beat Mary Pat Carl. I think you'd see a repeat on that if it's Kara Spencer. If it's Lewis Reed, it could be a very interesting race because they are different. They both are City Hall veterans. Tashara is a progressive. Tashara has, in a sense, nationalized her campaign, was endorsed by some national politicians. Lewis Reed is focusing on crime and reducing crime and especially attacking violent crime, and especially even within that, the murders of you know, there have been more than a dozen children murdered in the city of St. Louis, and I don't think any of them have been solved. So between the two of them, they are both African-American. One is progressive, one is moderate, and they really have very different worldviews. So I think it'll be a very spirited race if it's the two of them, and I think the voters will have a real choice.
Yeah, because there are differences. There are big differences, and I think they will have a choice. You'd have to almost just given, maybe I'm wrong about this, you know, city politics, given the nature of what happened with Cori Bush, again, that would sort of put the check mark in the favor of Tashara Jones, possibly?
Yeah, I think that Tashara Jones has the wind at her back, and Lewis Reed's the only one that could beat her. What would be interesting is if Tashara Jones is going to end up running against Kara Spencer, about the only difference between the two of them is race. And so, you know, then you fear that what will happen there is that will devolve into that. If Lewis Reed runs against Tashara Jones, it'll be much more issue-oriented. Maybe, I don't even know if there's enough time for them to get too nasty because there's only a month to go, but they're both African-American, so, you know, race won't fit into that picture. So, but again, going back to the last three citywide elections, in the mayor's race 4 years ago, 67% of the voters voted for an African-American candidate. In the president's race 2 years ago, 70%. And in the circuit attorney's race in August, 60% voted for an African-American candidate. So even though whites, especially on election day, make up a majority of the voters, I think Lewis Reed is the only one who could beat Tashara Jones. But if we're going to be, you know, objective about it, I think Tashara still is the front runner, still hers to lose.
How long, give me the math again, how long has it been since you left with Mayor Slayer? Or maybe even better than that, when Mayor Slayer left office now. It's been 4 years?
It's been 4 years. So he left office and it was replaced by Lyda Crewson. So, yeah, it's been 4 years. Seems like forever ago. I will tell you that I was involved in all four of his mayoral campaigns. And all four of them, even when they were close or whether he won by a long shot, we're very spirited, and this one has really been very, very low-key, and I don't really know what to make of that at the moment. Maybe it's the new campaign finance limits, so there's not nearly as much money in it, so there's not as much broadcasting on television and that sort of thing, but it's not nearly, at least in the primary, maybe it's the new voting rules, but it's not been nearly as spirited as the races I was accustomed to being part of.
But isn't that a problem? Isn't that part of the problem right now because of so many things that need to really be, you know, taken care of in this city right now? Shouldn't there be more focus? I'm kind of shocked that there really isn't a spirit. And I know that, you know, in the different wards and you've had some debates and things like that. But I almost feel like this whole mayor's race is passing some of us by.
Well, it probably is. Some of it may be COVID, so a lot of the stuff is online, so you don't see that. It has not gotten much television coverage, though, you know, in the local news stations. I think the Post-Dispatch and KMOX have done a pretty good job of covering it, but it just hasn't gotten people fired up. And as a result, I think you're going to see really low voter turnout today. I was hoping that it would be 30 to 35%, which, while that's abysmal, is kind of better than what I think it, you know, the heard Gary Stauff over the election board predict it's only going to be 20%. This is the mayor of the city for the next 4 years, the central city of St. Louis. So I agree with you, a 20% turnout when you have an open race. It's one thing if you have Francis Slay running against a really poor candidate and everybody expects him to win. We don't know for sure who's going to win today. So if it does turn out that it's, you know, 18 to 25%, that'll be very disappointing. Not necessarily surprising, but it would be disappointing. But maybe things will wind up in the general when you only have two candidates. Maybe that's another reason why it's not all fired up, is unlike the past, if you won the Democratic primary in St. Louis going back probably 4 or 5 decades, it was all over. Now we're going to have two people running, and maybe it'll be the general election that where the sparks will fly.
Yeah, because, look, if it is going to be Tishara and Lewis in the next 4 weeks, I would hope there'd be a lot of focus on the differences, because there's going to be a clear choice. And, in fairness, and you might want to be a little bit more careful here, but there are a lot of people worried about what the city might look like if you have someone that is as progressive, so to speak, as Tishara Jones in the mayor's office. I mean, Lewis has run before. I like him. I think he's competent. In my view, he's the best choice here. But I'm not a person who lives in the city of St. Louis anymore. And seemingly a lot of those folks have moved in another direction, voting for members of Congress who want to defund the Pentagon and things along those lines, Rainford.
Yeah, the electorate in the city, I think that it is, interestingly, my observation is, we'll see when we get the census numbers, it is growing more white and less black, mostly because North St. Louis continues to lose population. But the white people moving in are younger, tend to be, if you know, not have children, tend to be more progressive, more liberal, that sort of thing. So, you know, but you see that in other cities. You see it in Seattle. You see it in Portland, of course, and maybe even Austin, Texas. But the difference with those other cities is, even with their politics being, you know, changing and being very different, those cities are booming. Our city is not. Crime continues to be a problem. Population loss continues to be a problem. The economy in the city is stable, but, you know, slowly ticking downward. So, you know, we really need some changes in the city. We need a new direction. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I agree with you. I think that Lewis is very, very competent. I think he's got the right priorities. As far as, I think the first thing that has to happen is you have to get rid of the violent crime. You at least got to get it down to some level where people aren't scared to death just to go to a restaurant in the city. Having said that, whoever wins, you know, the job is going to be ginormous, and it is Tishara, then she's going to be our mayor. We all got to do everything, because this is different than being, you know, electing a member of Congress who says a lot of things but really can't do anything. The mayor of the city of St. Louis is going to have to lead the renaissance of the city, and whether that's Tishara or Lewis or another candidate, you know, we've got to give him or her a chance, and certainly that's what I plan to do.
Well, I get that sentiment. I understand, but I don't know. I mean, maybe Tishara Jones is not Cori Bush, but I'll use her as an example. I don't know how you have conversations about solving problems with someone who's that radical on some of these issues. I just don't.
Well, because the mayor of the city of St. Louis is a, you know, being a member of Congress is a job where you talk, right? Congress occasionally will pass bills, you know, but really members of Congress, when, you know, if I asked you to sit here and tell me what your members of Congress actually did to change your life or to even affect your life, you'd have a hard time. Mayors, on the other hand, are doers, right? So you have to put police officers out in the streets, and you are responsible for making people safe, and either you do or you don't. If their house catches fire, you have to put it out. If there's a pothole in front of their house, you have to fill it. If the grass in the parks is too tall, you have to cut it. You know, you got to put chlorine in the swimming pool so that when children swim there, they're safe. When COVID breaks out, you got to, you know, lead the vaccination and put the rules into place to keep people safe. So members of Congress, we can kind of get away with having far left and far right people, but, you know, really being a mayor is not an ideological job. It is a job where you have to be, you know, very practical job where you have to get stuff done. And, you know, I only, you know, probably gave you 1/10 of the list of things that a mayor has to do. So
people
who come into the job with the idea that they're going to carry out an ideology find very quickly that ideology has very little to do with, you know, how you get snow off the streets in the middle of winter.
Jeff Rainford, always great to have you back. I think you're at an airport. I'll let you get on that flight. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good, Mark, and good luck with the new gig. I'm really excited for you.
I am too. Thank you. We'll get you on that other station for sure, Jeff. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
You know, he says that the mayor is a doer, and I get the sentiment there, but what has Mayor Crewson done in the last 4 years outside of, you know, wagging her finger at people to wear masks while people are dropping like flies from gun violence in the street of St. Louis? By the way, at a faster pace already the first 2 months than even last year, which most people don't even know about because it's not even covered. And 20%, if 20% of the people of the city of St. Louis come out to vote and that's it, why would anyone even care about the city of St. Louis? If the people that live in the city don't care, why would the rest of us care?
KMOX is St. Louis's news, talk, sports, radio.
You know, I think there's this freedom that people are experiencing once they get the second COVID shot in particular. And one of our account executives, Judith Anderson, who works with me at KMOX, is going to come on the air with me after 3 o'clock because I'm sensing this from other friends too. And she's ready to live again. And I think that's important. Hey, Klein, your boys are a little younger than my little girl, Alexa, who turns 6 years old next Monday, believe it or not. Have they lost any teeth? Have they gotten close to losing any teeth?
No. And in fact, I don't really know how I'm going to breach the subject of the tooth fairy with them. I think it's going to horrify them.
Okay, well, here's my advice. Don't do what I did, all right? Because I don't know how this happened, but she's got a loose tooth. I think she's got a couple of loose teeth. One of them was in the front. And I don't know if at one point I mentioned something or somebody mentioned something about you could swallow your tooth. Maybe she even says, well, what if I swallow it? I'm like, well, you know, that happens, but it's no big deal. This kid, and this is actually pretty serious, she hasn't had anything to eat in about a week. I mean, she's been eating some of these go-go things and stuff like that.
Poor
because,
girl.
And she'll take, yeah, we had to take her to the dentist today because she won't eat food. She's so mentally freaked out about swallowing her tooth that she won't eat. So she chews a bunch of food up and then she won't swallow it and she wants to spit it up. So we finally took it. Cost me a couple hundred bucks, took her to the dentist. They yanked the tooth. I think I could have done it for cheaper than that, but there might have been a little mental torture involved. And then, well, you know, who knows where things would have headed.
You have to explain, too, that the tooth fairy also, there's incentives with that. Monetary incentives.
I think the tooth fairy is not quite as generous when the tooth gets pulled. Isn't that the way it works?
I think that's only fair.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to check the accounting, and I'll keep you posted on that. Second hour of the show is coming up next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.